Blog Talk Radio. Hello, everybody. It's Nunu, and welcome to the Broken Earth Radio Show. Tonight is special. It's so special. It's Halloween. It's a night show, which we usually don't do in the United States. Unfortunately, Bill is sleeping, but we have such a very special guest tonight, a very good friend of mine who I'll introduce you guys to in just a moment. But sit back. Relax, grab your drink, get your candles ready because we're going to be doing real live manifesting tonight. If anybody has anything they're looking for, love, money, whatever it is you want, get it together because we're doing it. We're doing it live. We're doing it for real. We're getting energy from all over the globe going round and round and round and round to make some things really happen in this very special and most special and holiest of days, Halloween. But before we do that, we're going to take a little break and be right back.
When you came in, the air went out, and every shadow filled up with doubt. I don't know who you think you are, but before the night is through, I wanna do bad things with you. I'm the kind to sit up in his room, heart sick and eyes filled up with blue.
Thank you.
Welcome back. It's the Broken Earth Radio Show. Leslie, are you there?
I am.
Oh, awesome. Everybody, I want to introduce you to one of my favorite people. One of my favorite people ever. Her name is Leslie.
Wow.
Wow. We were teasing about you the other day, and I was calling you Big Leslie. And he was like, why do you call her Big Leslie? And I was like, well, there's another Leslie, but I guess they're really about the same size, so there's no real reason for that. Except that
she's true. We know that. I'm too big for one word.
That's exactly it. So, Ms. Leslie Shaka Sanders, it's so wonderful, wonderful for you to join us tonight, or join me tonight, rather, and I have been wanting you to do this for a while, but I know that you get busy because you have a farm you're raising.
I do. It's funny. It's taking all of my time and much of my energy, but I am very delighted for the invitation and excited to be here.
Thank you so much. You know, why don't we tell some scary stories?
Who would you like to go first?
Well, I think my stories are probably all played out right now, but since you are the guest, please.
Well, this is kind of an auspicious story in that it's real, and this incident occurred the night that I met my first husband. I was quite young. It was the first time that we had encountered each other. And I was with a group of friends. We had gone to his place of business. I was staying with a friend of his. And this all takes place in a very tiny town in Middle Tennessee. It's called Franklin. Mm-hmm. So it was late in the evening. We were all about 17, 18 years old. And you know how kids get. They decide to do something, somebody gets a bug someplace, and everybody's got to go do it. And everybody just happened to want to go to this old plantation in Franklin. It's called the Carnton Mansion. Mm. And you wouldn't know today that there's anything there. To get to this beautiful antebellum home, you have to drive through a very depressing subdivision, go behind a tennis court, traverse a golf course, and then you come to a graveyard. And you can park there. And this was late in the evening, you know, just a bunch of kids deciding to scare each other.
Mm-hmm.
We had some drinkers. Some people were rowdy. I was stone cold sober. And we arrived at the parking area, walked through the graveyard. People were spooking each other, just making fun of everything. And the house has a very particular history in this part of the country. It is a very big home. It was once a plantation. And it was also the place of a very bloody Civil War battle.
Mm.
And the home itself was used as a hospital in the Civil War. If one was to go into the home, you can still see the blood on the wood floors. There's gouges,
wow,
and bullet holes in the wall. It's beautiful, but it is a very unhappy place. And as this group of very raucous kids, we sat on the back porch of this very giant brick home, columns everywhere, windows everywhere. And the thing is we could all see the lights from the tennis courts. We could see people in their homes enjoying themselves late in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and as we're walking up to the big home through this very wet, dewy grass, the home is lit by spotlights. And they're all around the house. You can't look any place and not see a light here. There's a field next to the house where the battle had taken place. It's completely cleared, very dark, and it borders the Harpeth River.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we mess around, play around on the porch, scare each other, knock on the windows, knock on the doors. It's no big thing. People are getting drunk. Some people are dancing. It's not a big deal. We're all inside the spotlights at this point. We're in the back porch, messing around. And somebody hears a sound. And it's not a big deal. You know, everybody's trying to scare themselves. And then we hear a louder sound. It is piercing, and it growls.
Oh, my gosh.
Which is not a big deal. You know, you're kind of in the country, kind of not. Maybe it's somebody's dog from the subdivision. We don't know. But, you know, everybody was just kind of chuckling, trying to make themselves feel a little bit better, trying to not act scared, trying to be big. And then it happens again, and it's closer. And my skin started getting a little goose pimply. I could feel the hair standing up on my arms. And the people that I was staying with tried to write this off repeatedly. It's nothing. It's nothing. It came again. And it was closer still, and people got very scared, and the group ran around the side of the house. And like I said, you can't see anything outside of these spotlights. It's so bright. It's so, so bright. And we get outside of the lights, and everyone is running. And I am not a runner. I do not run unless there's someone behind me with a knife.
Right.
That is just my history. I do not run. Let me tell you, I'm the last in the pack. We're running through slippery, dewy grass. You can see your breath in the air. I'm the last one. I'm trying to catch up. I'm about to pee my pants because I'm so scared. And I turned around and I looked over my right shoulder just to glimpse at the house to see what the hell we were running from. I was getting very, very upset. And I looked over my right shoulder. And at the far end of the house, beyond the giant porch, there are two Confederate soldiers hunched down, looking at me. And I could see their eyes, and I could see their skin, and they were getting up. And they were coming toward us.
Oh,
now, I said,
God.
I don't run. I ran like the devil was on my ass.
Oh, my gosh.
We ran through the grass. We ran through the graveyard. And in this horrible melee to try to get out, somebody knocked over two gravestones.
Oh, my
gosh. Which I think is perhaps not the best way to leave a place.
Right.
So, you know, we got out of there, ran through the graveyard, back to the car. People are laughing. People are sweating. Somebody's taking a piss next to a gravestone.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
I turn around, and there was nothing there. Nothing, nothing. There was nothing there. There wasn't a mist. There wasn't a sound. There wasn't a sight. Nothing. Nothing. No one else saw it but me. And I swear to you, I know what I saw. I know what was there. I know that I could see the wool of their uniforms. I could see stripes. I couldn't see any munitions, nothing like that. I know what I saw. It was there, and it has stayed with me for 20 years.
Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. I'm like looking around, and it scares the crap out of me. But when everybody was running, they were just kind of running from the noise.
They were running from the noise, and like I said, not being a runner myself, a little slow on the uptake.
Right.
I had the presence of mind. Maybe it wasn't the presence of mind to look back, but it was the absolute urge to see what we were running from. And instantaneously I knew what was there, what meant for us to be gone from that place.
Right.
And I have never ever returned.
Oh.
The entire time that I have lived in this state, I have never returned. I have never even driven past the road to the subdivision, to the parking lot to get there. And I will never go, because what is there is not dead. It's not alive, but it's not dead either.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of people have instances like that in old homes. And I think that you and I could probably agree that homes carry an energy.
Yeah, they do. They do.
And sometimes there's a conduit for that energy. And it just happens to be the right place at the right time, or the wrong place at the right time, however
right.
you'd like to see it. So, yeah, never been back, never want to go back, because I don't think I want to see what else is there.
Mm. Oh,
I'm lighting
goodness.
Candles right now.
Oh, good. And everybody get your candles lit. Come on, we're going to manifest. We're going to do a manifesting in about 40 minutes. So if anybody wants anything in particular, give us a call and talk about it. Give us a call and share your creepy stories. The number to call is 347-215-8421. Give us a call and get a quick reading, a quick sample reading, a very simple question. But give us a call. Why don't we take a little break here for a moment? Because I gotta walk that off. I gotta walk that off for just a second. But yeah, we're gonna take a little break. And everybody, remember, you're listening to Broken Earth Radio Show. This is Nunu and Leslie, and we will be right back.
Hi, my name is Aaron, and for the past my trusted guide and friend Nunu has helped me along the journey of change and growth. Her sincerity and clear insights have brought new understandings and developments to my life. I am proud to know her, to be her client, and to have her support in my life. Thank you, Nunu.
In your face, what would you do? What if I fell to the floor, couldn't take this anymore? What would you do? You come. break me down. Bury me, bury me. I am finished with you. Look in my eyes. You're killing me, killing me. All I want to was you.
That was nice, don't you think?
Appropriate.
It's always appropriate, isn't it?
Indeed.
You know, I have a story. And I want to remind everybody who we are real quickly. We are Broken Earth Radio Show. We have a super special guest tonight, Leslie. Big Les.
That's right.
Sorry. I have to stop saying that because nobody's going to think it's funny. It's actually not even really funny, but I think it's corny because seeing you and saying that is just like, it's funny, okay? Because it's just completely, like, not parallel.
Well, you know, sometimes bodies can't contain size.
You really are larger than life. I'm telling you.
That's what I like to think.
I'm going to tell everybody real quickly. Leslie, her husband, is a really old friend of mine that actually is more like a brother to me, because we had one of those relationships with each other where we hated each other's guts, but we had to be friends.
Oh, that is the most diplomatic way to put things.
And, I mean, hated him to the point that the child I was carrying in my body when she came out hated him too. And I'm
Smart
always
girl.
Telling this story, so I know Leslie's probably tired of it. But I'll just say this. One day, we were having this Labor Day party, and my daughter, who was two. She wasn't three yet. She was two. She still had a pacifier in her mouth. She told Brant, she said, come here. And he stepped over near her. She's like, no, come over here. She was outside the front door. No, wait a minute. Wait a minute. She was standing in front of the door. She's like, no, come here. And he came over next to her, and she said, go over there. And so he stepped outside of the door, and she slammed the door on him.
Again, smart girl.
Everybody was like, where did she get that from? I mean, she made it up. I said, she made it up. She just knows. She just knows that I hate Brant.
She trusted
actually,
herself.
But actually, I don't. I actually love Brant. However, it's just we get along like just exactly like brother and sister. And she and Leslie is the first woman that he has ever had anything to do with that I liked. And I said it probably 1,000 times the first night I met her. And we've been friends ever since.
Well, you know the first time you met me, that story. You lifted up my shirt and said, that'll do.
Even remember that.
Really? I was standing in front of the bathroom. I had just come out of the bathroom. You lifted up my shirt to appraise me physically, and I let it happen, which is so weird. That would never happen. People don't touch me. I put off that vibe. Like, oh, my God, I can't touch. People can't hug me. My best friend won't hug me because she knows. So for that to happen, for me to let it happen, for you to be so bold, I should have known what I was getting into. And it's hysterical that you called me a woman and that Brant was interested in me.
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh. But those are the days.
Yep, history.
And now we just wish we could go back in time and get rid of Brant, don't we?
Oh, he's in bed. He's missing all the fun.
He's missing all the good times about him, isn't he? Well, we have some callers in the queue, and we'll get to you guys real quickly, but I want to tell another story, an actual scary story. Oh, my goodness. This was years ago. I had a really good friend, and we would we were together all the time. And I used to sleep on the futon in her and her mom's living room, and I kept having these dreams. There were these two pictures. They were like posters or like, you know, prints of paintings of these flapper girls. And one of them was holding a cat, a black one, and a champagne glass with pearls. And I can't remember what the other one was doing. But I kept having dreams every night that these women were climbing out of the pictures trying to choke me.
Oh, my God.
I know. And one morning I woke up and my friend says to me, "What is on your neck?" And there was a brown ring around my neck. And so we went to the doctor. I went to the doctor, and they called in somebody who was like a social services person to come in to talk to me, because they really were trying to get him. They were trying to get me to admit that I was a victim of domestic abuse. And I'm like, no, I don't have any idea where it came from, but I couldn't tell them what had happened, because they would probably have committed me. But anyway, they gave me this salve, this cream, and I put the cream around my neck, and within just like hours, the brown thing, the ring, it turned into a scab, and I was able to just peel it off. So, but years later, we found out that, and I've told this story on the show before, my friend's mom's boyfriend had actually put a curse on those pictures because he was mad at her. And he called me one day, and I have no idea how this man got my phone number, because he actually called me at my mother's house, and I didn't live with my mother. And he called me there, and I was like, "How did you get this number? How do you even know? What? Who are you?" And he was just like, "Listen, I just want to tell you that I'm sorry. I didn't mean for that to happen to you."
Oh, my God.
I know. And so
that is terrifying.
And a little while after that, he passed away. So, but yeah, I mean, this is just crazy stories, crazy stories, crazy stories.
See, I don't like it when they come and get physical.
I know. Mm-hmm. I know.
That's too much.
It really is way too much.
It's okay to be metaphysical neighbors.
Exactly.
But we'll get to my story about that too.
Yeah. Well, let's get a quick break, and then
okay.
We're going to come back, and we're going to talk to the caller at 5:10. Everybody, this is Broken Earth Radio Show. Remember to give us a call if you want to talk, 347-215-8421. You're talking with Nunu and Leslie, and we will be right back.
Tune in to Broken Earth on blogtalkradio.com, 2 p.m. Central Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, and 8 p.m. in the U.K.
You've reached the Broken Earth Radio Show. You there, Leslie?
I am.
All right, we're going to take a caller. We're actually going to talk with caller at 510. 510, this is Nunu. How can I help you? Hello? Hello, hello? Well, I guess they're not there.
They got scared.
Maybe they were trying to scare us. Maybe it was a ghost that was calling us.
I don't like that.
I don't like that either.
Hmm.
They don't need to be calling us.
No.
Well, you know what? Let's try to take a different caller. And everybody, if you want to call in, the number is 347-215-8421. We're about to take the caller from Colorado, 303. It's Nunu. How can I help you?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Happy Halloween, and thank you for being on.
Thanks. Thank you. Well, could I have your name?
My name is Michelle.
Michelle. Okay, Michelle, why don't you share with us what you'd like to talk about?
I had a question. I take it you're doing readings, correct?
Yes, we are doing readings, and if anybody wants to share spooky stories, and we're also getting ready to do some manifesting in about 25 minutes. So, but Michelle, what's on your mind?
I recently emailed someone that I was very close to in the past, and I'm just wondering if you can pick anything up on that as to what his reaction was to that email.
Okay, what's his name?
His name is John.
John? Okay. Now, Michelle, if you would, I need you to really relax. Take some nice, good, deep breaths, okay? Just let go. Just let go. Just breathe, okay? Hold on just a moment. All right, dear. There goes John. Let's see. All right, this is the deal. He has got the email. I wanted to make sure he'd read it. I do see him receiving the email. And right now, he has, I want to talk to you about the Seven of Cups. The Seven of Cups in tarot represents, I call this the Matrix card, because it's one of those things where if you remember the movie The Matrix, when Neo was getting shot at and he was blocking the bullets, and then he allowed one to actually hit him.
Uh-huh.
The Seven of Cups is basically, in this particular setting, is burdens or things that we choose to not carry because other things are going on. So I see he's received your email. I see that he understands the email, but for some reason he's picking and choosing what to deal with. And right now our guides are saying that he is detaching. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, he could have. I mean, it's very possible that there's other more important things going on. I realize that.
Yeah.
I mean,
And let me tell you this real quick, sweetheart. I do see him responding to you. I do see him responding. And if I make this into a timeline, you may not hear from him tomorrow, okay? I'm actually saying that you're probably going to hear from him Monday or so, okay?
Monday. So it's already been like almost 3 weeks, so I just
really
kind of wondered. Yeah.
Okay. Well, but you know, it does look like he's gotten it, but it looks like he's just sort of like, and he even gets it. You know, he understands what you're saying, but it's like he's sticking it over to the side. So with that, just kind of think about what you want to do next, okay?
Okay. Do you see us reconnecting though when he responds, or?
Oh, I do see him responding. Yeah, I do.
Okay. Because basically, I had wondered if I did something to anger him or if he was upset at something. I mean, the email was not anything upsetting that I wrote him. So.
Right. Well, I'm going to tell you, and just to kind of keep it really simple, it very simple. I'm not seeing anything bad. I just really see someone who is putting things over to the side, and I want you just to kind of think about how that makes you feel, okay? And I'm just saying that as a coping thing, not a seer. and I'm not saying that as a seer, I'm saying that as a healer. Think about how being put to the side makes you feel, and then think about how you want to respond, okay?
Okay.
All right, sweetheart. Well,
thank
Good
you
luck.
Very much.
Okay.
Thanks. I appreciate
okay.
it. Have a great
All
night.
All right. You too. You too.
Bye, Michelle.
Bye-bye.
Sometimes men are frustrating, to say the least.
To say the least.
To say the least. Everybody, Leslie is extremely crazy psychic.
Hey, you're funny.
No, she really is. And she doesn't do it for, you know, professionally or anything like that, but she does see and she does, she hears and she knows. And, you know, she's a really good person to talk to. So if anybody has a question for Leslie, too, if you feel comfortable even talking to someone, you know what I mean? Anybody can feel free to talk to you as well. Awesome. Awesome. Now, I believe 510 has called back. So let's see if we can connect. Hold on just a moment. Wait a minute. 510, this is Nunu. How can I help you?
Hi. Can you hear me now?
Yes, yes, yes.
I'm not a ghost. My phone was crazy. I hope not, anyways.
Well, can I have your name, dear? I'm sorry.
That's okay. My name's Annie.
Annie? Okay. All right, Annie, go for it.
I was wondering what you saw for me as far as when I'm going to meet my my husband.
Oh, wow. Does she really want one of those, Leslie?
That's a loaded question. You sound so upbeat and positive that he may be there already.
Uh-huh.
And, Annie.
Yes.
You may know him. This is a hard question to answer in a way that you will perceive positively without feeling lost.
Okay.
Hit it, Nunu.
All right, girl. You actually do know him already, just like Leslie said. And right now, he's withdrawn. So this is someone that I do see that you have already met, except you're not communicating right now. But I do see a place of clarity coming into the picture sometime this winter. And I want to ask you a question. Are you by chance communicating with somebody online, or have you been having some sort of a long distance thing where you guys connect on the internet?
No, there's nothing in my life right now.
And let me ask you one more question. The type of work that you do, are you working behind a desk a lot?
Yes.
Okay. The reason I'm asking you about the internet and desks is just because the way that you and this person connect is, you're connecting in an environment where you're boxed in. That's the way that I see that you guys have connected. So when I say boxed in, I see you like you could be online talking to somebody, or you could be sitting behind your desk and he's doing the same exact thing that you're doing.
But
the thing is, I see that he has withdrawn right now, but you guys have already touched each other's heads, but he's somebody who's withdrawn, so he's not really talking right now. So, this is what I'm talking about. But I'm going to tell you, our guides are saying soon you'll see that you guys connect again and you have your clarity. And when I say soon, I'm talking about 2.5 moons. Now, for me, moons can literally represent moon cycles, moon phases, or it could be like moon cycles, like 2.5 months, or just like, 2.5 moon phases. Like, you know, right now we're in the full moon. And so you need to go through, a new moon and et cetera, et cetera. You see what I mean? So, but regardless, I do see you guys connecting again. And as far as when I actually see you in a relationship, it's 5 steps away. So basically, after you guys have connected, which is in 2 steps, basically, you are in a relationship 3 steps later, so like 5 months from now, okay? And, but remember, this is somebody that I really see that you already know.
I already know this guy? Have I seen him in his face or just over the phone type of thing?
It's not a personal knowing. It's not a physical knowing. Mm. It's someone that you, I feel like you've perhaps dealt with in a capacity that is not touchy-feely in any way. But mm. it's this person is not unknown to you.
Right.
Oh, okay. He doesn't know, as far as I go concerning him, it was just like whatever, we were just dealing with each other
right.
for work.
Right. So I'll give you just like another example. And I'm just because I want you to get of how huge of a thing we're talking about here. He could be, you know, that guy that added you to on Facebook because you were friends with, you know, a girl that he works with. He could, you know, or I don't really believe that's the situation. I actually believe that this is somebody that you know through business, because like I said, I see you in a box. I see you in your compartment, so to speak. And this is how you guys have connected. And then you connect again. And then over a period of time, you guys connect in a way that you know, oh my gosh, I'm going to meet this person. And then you have this relationship that comes together. But I'm telling you, it's going to be all good sooner than you think. And so, you know, Leslie and I are very silly sometimes, and we're joking around about, do you really want to be married? Because you're talking to a couple of old biddies here. Just kidding. Mm-hmm. But we're joking around. We're joking. But seriously, we already know that you know him, or that you're familiar with him already.
And this is a husband guy, like soulmate type of thing?
This is a husband person. But we're going to not talk about soulmates right now, because soulmate is a statement. And I'm telling you this as a healer.
Okay.
I don't want you to get obsessed with something. I want you to stay with your palm open. Because when we look for somebody to stamp soulmate on, mm-hmm. I usually see it get more unhealthy than better.
Oh.
You know? So just allow yourself to be free, and then when you guys decide that you're soulmates, you do that together, okay?
Do you have an idea of what he looks like, maybe?
Leslie, what do you see?
I believe him to be dark-headed and light-eyed, which sounds very general and very specific at the same time, right?
Yeah.
I know. It's vague, but it's not. I get this feeling that he's got big hands.
like a big guy?
Not maybe big of stature, but big in presence with strong hands. Because there's something in you that attracts that to you. You know him.
I'm very interested to find out who this might be.
Yeah, you will.
I am too.
You will. You know, and seriously, add us to your Facebook. You know, and also we're doing this thing. We're trying to get people to come onto our Facebook and like the page. And we're going to do like after we get 250 fans, we're going to do a drawing for a 30-minute free reading, that sort of thing. But add us to the page anyway, because we're on every week and we want to see how things are going with you. But you know, just you're going to connect soon, because I see a meeting of minds, which means you have a conversation coming up in November. Mm-hmm. And then after a period of time, you know, after the 2.5 moons that I'm telling you about, you'll know who it is. I mean, well, you'll be pretty much comfortable with, this is the person they're talking about. This really is him. This is it. So, all right, dear.
I'll know by talking to him, and then we meet, and then things kind of progress from there.
Exactly.
But do not,
you feel like he's a good guy.
Heavily on the soul thing.
Yeah, okay, don't focus on soulmates, girl. Don't focus on that stuff. Don't focus on that. Don't do that to yourself.
Is he a good guy?
I don't see why you would fall somebody that was a horrible guy. I don't think, I don't see that you need those lessons.
Okay, good.
All right.
You're too nice.
Well, it's what we do. Annie, it's been awesome knowing you and meeting
you.
But let me tell you something. We're in about 10 minutes, we're going to do some manifesting. So listen to the show. Get your candles going. We're going to do some serious manifesting. We're going to get our energy flowing for people. We're going to make things happen. We're going to get love and money and whatever else things people want. And we're going to get our spirit guides, and we're going to get all those who came before us to come in, and they're going to do some stuff for us. Okay?
Oh, cool.
So listen to the show and get your stuff going, because the more people do this, the more energy we have flowing around the globe and the more stuff that'll come falling out of the sky. All right, girl?
Thank you. So can you mute me so that I can just stay on the line?
Yes,
and
I sure can. I sure can.
Thank you.
No problem.
Thanks, all guys.
Right. All right. You there? Hello?
Me?
Yes, you.
Whoa. I was still thinking about Annie.
Oh, you were?
Uh-huh.
Oh.
I was. I think that she's got a lot coming to her. I think that if she remains open, like you said, there's a tremendous advantage to staying that way.
You're right. There really is. You know, one of the things that I have, you know, am so like, and I want you to think about this. Think about where all of us, you, me, Marissa, Leslie, other Leslie, where we were just X years ago, and all the stirring and all the manifesting and all the stuff that we've been doing. You're married now. I'm marrying Marissa, and did you? Oh, well, she's asked me if I would be on standby to marry her and her fiance in May. And little Leslie is talking about getting married.
What?
And I mean, so I'm serious. Everybody is getting sealed up, and it's from some real good, open-minded after some hard lessons. you know,
this is after, true.
You know, so it's. I mean, not that marriage is the end all be all, but it because you know it's not. But not insulting marriage at all. You know, I'm just saying that. You know, sometimes we have to think about the things that we want in life more than that other person for us to be able to have what it is that we're really looking for.
And so, a lot of times that other person really can help you focus and stay positive, give you the love, support, and respect that you need, and that can help change you and mold you as a person and as a spirit. That's how I look at it, that, you know, when you remain open, when you live in light, when you love in light, you gain a lot of strength from that. And while, like you said, you know, marriage isn't the end. It's a beginning for a lot of people, and it can never be the end of your own self. It's a joining of spirits. It's a happiness. And from that happiness, you can always cultivate so much more.
True. You know, Deepak Chopra has a talk that he has on YouTube. I can't remember what it is, but he's basically hitting on some points for inner peace. And I think it actually may be about, it may just be called, you know, inner peace or about inner peace. But one of the fastest ways that we reach inner peace is through relationships. But on the flip side of that, one of the fastest ways for us to go careening out of control is for that person who helped us see something amazing about ourselves to turn and maybe not want this anymore. So, you know, one of the things that we have to remember today, tonight, when we're doing our manifesting, when you're asking for relationships, when you're asking for rekindling of relationships, when you're asking for whatever it is that you're asking for, to remember that this is not about barter. You know, some people think that if I do good, then this is going to happen. Yeah, sometimes, because that's what people feel like, you know, what comes around goes around is about. But the thing is,
yeah,
But the thing is, sometimes we still get those big giant poop sandwiches and you know, taco turds. And it doesn't mean you've been bad. It just means that it's your turn to decode pain so that you can rise to a new place. You can come to a new place of compassion, and for you to also to realize that relationships are not, and life is just seriously not always about barter. And this is one of the things, too, that the book that Broken Earth is working on, we're working on a book of about moon spells, moon magic, women magic, that sort of thing, is that when you're trying to determine how you want to create your own magic, how you want to do your wording, how, you know, the candles that you choose and the energy that you're trying to invoke, that you remember to not, to really try to stay in a place of free will for everyone, and to also remember that this is not about barter, that, you know, sometimes objectifying a person, which means that you make the person your object. You know, you just got to be careful about how you say things and how you word things and how you do things, and try to keep your hands open as wide and your palms up as possible, wide open as possible. I do believe in soulmates, but I don't think that it's right to ask if someone or to look for someone to be your soulmate before you know them, before they've said that they want to be yours, and, you know, just
before they know your soul.
Exactly. And before you know theirs, too, because it makes people obsessive. It makes us, you know, we get to a place where we just don't understand why something changed. But if you really do connect with someone, no matter how hard it is, even if something starts going bad, you get it. And one of the things that we always want to do is remember we are looking for the opportunity for amazing things. But we always want to be able to understand what's happening, too. So it's a tall order.
It is. It's very, you know, I learned a ridiculously important lesson. And for a very long time, I thought God was punishing me for whatever I thought that I had done that was wrong. And I was punishing myself. And to just generalize a little bit more, the very important lesson at the bottom of self-punishment is that to know love, you have to know infinite sadness. And when you know that sadness and you can accept it, you can see a whole lot more clearly. You can accept a whole lot more love. And that's so important. So if something bad happens, it's not necessarily bad. Every single thing is a lesson. You get to learn every day. And if you can stay open enough to all of these little things, things that bother you, things that you think might be punishing you, things that are bad that you're doing to yourself, understand that you can surpass it, that you can surmount it, and that you can learn from it. And as long as you are open to learning from every single experience that you have, you're building yourself up from the inside. And at the end of the day, you're going to be your own soulmate. And when you are your own soulmate, you open your soul to somebody else. I'm preachy tonight.
I think you're awesome, and that's one of the reasons why I love you.
Oh, I love you.
But, you know, seriously, though, everything you're saying is true. Everything you're saying is beautiful. Everything you're saying is difficult. Everything you're saying is hard for people to eat, to swallow, you know, to want. But like I said, you know, sometimes we have to decode pain to get to transcend. And I want everybody to start getting their candles together. I'm going to play a song for us to get relaxed, and we're going to come back and we're going to do our manifesting. And then after the manifesting, we're going to do more readings. But right now, everybody kind of go get your candles and things together that you want to use. You know, and stay simple. If you only have white, use white for whatever, pink for romance, green for money, whatever it is you're looking for. But we'll be right back, my dears, This is Broken Earth Radio Show, and you're speaking with Nunu and Leslie. Welcome back to the Broken Earth Radio Show. This is Nunu and Leslie, and we are now ready to start a real live manifesting. And I hope everyone out there has their candles going. You know, I want everyone to just get yourselves nice and comfortable. And we're calling upon the spirits. We're calling upon our guides. We're calling upon all those who've come before us. We're calling upon anyone, any entity or anyone that is would like to come to gather and to help us. We're protecting each other from anything that may not necessarily be in our favor. And we're asking in free will for love, the deepest love and compassion. For all those out there that are looking for relationships, for all those that want another opportunity, a realistic opportunity for return to love in a healthy way, in a compassionate way, in a way of free will, we ask for those people to be able to come forward. We're looking for fortune. We're looking for validation in our careers, validation in our hobbies, validation in all those things that we do well. We're looking for reciprocation through appropriate pay, reciprocation through thank you. We're looking for validation. We would like health, positive health. Those out there that need to lose weight, to have the energy and the willpower to be able to take care of themselves each day, to know that each day has gone by and we have done everything that we possibly can for that day to make sure that we are healthy for the next. We're asking for our children to be safe. We're asking for our children to be safe on the way to school, while they're at school, on their way home, while they're home, and just while they're out there. We're asking for our children to never be the victims of other people's intentions. We're asking this very special night, we're requesting for all those who've come around to hear us, to see that the path is clear, for the things that we ask for to come forward. These are things that we deserve. We deserve the opportunity for good money. We deserve the opportunity for healthy, sturdy relationships. We deserve for our children to be okay. We deserve to be able to be healthy so we can care about those who care for us and we can proceed forward in the demands that this material world puts upon us. Is there anything that you'd like to add, Leslie?
Yeah, I think so. I think that it's fair to ask for an unobstructed view of yourself, to ask for, and this is a biggie, for security, for safety, whatever those words mean to you, at your core, what those words mean to you. For, as you said, health is a big one. Health is something everyone takes for granted until it's gone. So that's a big, important one. We want to be healthy, happy, safe, and able to view ourselves clearly in light of others and in spite of ourselves.
Oh, my heart.
We want to thank all those entities who've gathered round. We want to thank all those who've come forward in free will to assist us tonight. The things that we ask for, the things that we ask for privately, the things that we put forward out there into the air for the energy to spin, for the energy to swirl, for the momentum to be created. We ask these things because each and every single one of us tonight that has our heads bowed down, that has our arms to the air, or that has our hopes on the edge, we deserve a chance. I release the spirit to do our bidding. So mote it be. This is the Broken Earth Radio Show. This is Nunu and Leslie tonight. And we will be back, and we'll be back with readings. We'll be back with more. This is your show tonight. Happy Halloween. Welcome back, everybody. I hope everybody's feeling okay. How are you feeling, Leslie?
Completely positive.
That is completely awesome.
And my orange candles are still going.
Awesome. I've got so many candles going. It looks like it just looks like a fire.
You're perfect.
It's a fire.
Perfect.
All right, let's take a call. We have somebody here from 707. 707, this is Nunu. How can I help you tonight?
Hi, Nunu. Hi, Leslie.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. This is Valerie. Thank you for the manifestation.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much, Valerie. Thank you for listening.
Well,
oh, have you called in before?
Yes, I have.
You have? Okay. There you go, Leslie. You can talk through her. There you go.
That's really strange. What a lovely coincidence.
Yeah, because
I was just speaking of you tonight.
Oh, really?
Really?
Yes, so she's meant to talk to you. Go for it. Talk.
What would you like to talk about, Valerie?
Oh, whatever comes to mind.
This is a positive call.
Great.
What's on your mind tonight?
I was going to say to Nunu, I had a reading with her last month,
mm-hmm.
and she was right on. You were right on, Nunu, about being contacted from the past.
Okay.
And I did get that call from the person, but I ignored it, and they continuously called. I continuously ignored. So finally they went over. I had to talk to them to really make it clear that the door is absolutely shut.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I did that. But you were also saying that a new person was coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Hold
on just a second. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but the hairs on stand up my arms. Leslie, and Valerie, seriously, I was talking to Leslie tonight, and she was saying that the last show she heard was one where Valerie called in. And so, and she was, kind of expressing a desire to say something. So, Leslie, did you have something for her about a new person?
I'm not sure, honestly.
Okay, that's okay. That's okay. That's okay, dear. That's all right. That's okay. Let me just kind of see what I see, and I want to see if there's anything that's just kind of jarred, because I don't want Leslie to feel like she's being put on the spot, because she doesn't do this. She doesn't do this like I do every day, every single moment of the day. But hold on just a second. But I do like hearing the things that Leslie has to say, because every time she does say something, it's just like, it's awesome. Hold on just a second. Let me see about a new person coming into the picture. Hold on. Let's see. All right. Conflicts and based upon what you do with your conflicts. Hold on just a sec. Okay. And then there's okay. And then what? Okay, there's a very big statement. There's a very, very, very big statement that's being told. Now, I do see a new person coming in. The thing is, though, when it is, it doesn't look like it's super far away, okay? It just kind of seems like you have a whole lot of stuff that's going on. Are you by chance, and this has nothing to do with relationships, but are you by chance doing any building or repairing or anything that you would be overseeing with people in your home?
No, not yet. I have planned on doing some things, but it looks like it's delayed.
Okay. Hmm. Because there's some stuff that's going on here with this. And then I see you needing to speak with a man who looks like he may have lived in the home before or done work on the home before. There's just something that there's a man that knows more about your home than you do, apparently. And then when you're dealing with all this stuff in the midst of all this, whether or not you're meeting the person because of this, because the man who comes into the picture, he shows up as the King of Swords. And it basically looks like you guys make some sort of connection because of some things that you need done to your home. But I see you talking to another person about it, and then I see you meeting this other man through whatever information this man gives you.
Is that some kind of emergency repair? Because right now, with the weather change, it's not really much.
It's not really much to do right now. Yeah, I'm not necessarily seeing this as emergency, but it just basically you're being told that there's conflicts and based upon what you do with them. And the conflicts are not unexpected conflicts, which would be emergencies. Conflicts would be like, let's say, you know what, my tub is leaking down into the kitchen. And I can live without using that particular tub, but I know it's something that I essentially need to get done. And so, you know, if you know that there's somebody who has done some patch-up work for you and you call them up and you say, you know what, the patch-up work you do is I just really finally need something actually done. And he says, why don't you call Ricky or Steve? And they'll, you know what I mean? It's just through this.
Okay.
I'm meeting someone. And that's probably why I'm feeling like this person's right here on the edge of you knowing them, except it's based upon how quickly you do whatever it is you need to do. But let me show you something. I don't want you to feel like, you know, I could be putting this off forever. You know, I don't see you actually putting this off forever. It could be something that you do in the springtime. I do believe that when we spoke before, it seemed like you'd be meeting somebody quicker, but because, but my issues are conflicts and based upon what you do. So it's kind of like saying, based upon the fact that you're putting this off, it's kind of putting off other things too. Because, I mean, you know, what do you do every day?
So far as?
I mean, just with your life. I mean, you do the same things every day. So, and that's, you know, it's kind of like, how are you going to, I'm not trying to say do something different, you know, meet somebody else, click, you know, but but it's kind of like that. But, and this, you know, this is just really what I see. It just looks like through something that you need done, you're talking with someone else who's sending you off to talk to these other people, and through this situation, you're meeting this awesome guy.
And it's connected with the house.
It looks like it's connected with the house. And so there's all this stuff about your home before, you know, we even start to even see anything about men.
Oh, hopefully.
Yeah. Oh, it's nothing terrible. It's just kind of saying that here you are thinking about some things, and then you finally actually have the time to sit back and deal with the things. And then on the other side of clarity, so to speak, we start putting your story together. So and so that's how I see you meeting a new person. Leslie, is there anything that you're getting from what I'm saying?
Yeah. Valerie, I have a tendency to see things in colors. And there's a lot of gray apprehension that you operate within. And I think that apprehension is kind of reining you in a little bit, like, not like you need to go let go of everything and do, like Nunu said, it's not like you need to make this crazy change. There's something within you that is holding you back, and it's gray apprehension. I wish I could say this a little bit clearer for you, but I think that you know the feeling that is within you that makes you feel apprehensive about the people with whom you deal, on not necessarily a daily basis, but a first time, a second time, a third time meeting. I feel like there's a lot of, like you're not hard to get to know, but you are hard to get to know, and you don't give that away easily at all. That's, and let me just say that the last time I heard you, you were cutting in and out, so I did not get to hear much, but I did hear your voice, and you don't sound like you did last time. Something has changed, and this change is going to be good, but you're going to have to let yourself see it when it presents itself.
What type of change are you seeing?
There's a forward movement with you, a good positive movement, and Nunu saying something in your house, and when she says making a change in your house, I feel like your house is your entity. Like there's construction there in your being, and it is ongoing, even though you may not know it. But there might be something that is holding you back from continuing the good works inside of you. And when you open yourself just a touch more, not a lot, just a little bit more, I think it's going to break everything for you, and you will see what you need to see, what you've been manifesting for yourself, what you've been building inside of you, and it's not going to be gray apprehension anymore. There will be something good, and to me, orange is a really positive color, and
mm-hmm.
I see the orange leading to brown, and I feel like it's
Mm-hmm. And brown
it's
is
good.
Clarity. Brown is clarity.
Yeah.
Brown is black. Brown is the color that we burn when we want clarity in our lives.
Okay. Well, because I was doing some things around the house,
mm-hmm.
like decorating, you
mm-hmm.
know, different things to, you know, how you spruce up your house.
Yeah.
I have been on a kick of doing that for some reason. I just can't stop. It's just something that's.
Yeah.
That started and just continues to go. Because I do one
That's
area,
good.
Then I look at another area. I look at that area, then I start in another area.
Right.
See, when you change something, when you make it positive, you get to see everything else in a different light.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that changes everything for you. You're seeing things for what they are, whether it is in your soul house or your physical dwelling.
Correct.
And when you make those changes, you see things for what they are, and you have the ability, because you know you've changed things in the past, to make it exactly the way that you want it. You become more safe, more secure, more positive, and that opens you up to so much more. You're owning everything now.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm a positive person. Basically, the only thing that's really missing, well, I shouldn't say missing, but it's not here, is the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
The career is nice, the people is nice that I'm around, things of that nature. But it's just that the manifestation of someone to grow with is not there.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
We're here, just
oh,
listening, just listening, just listening to what you're saying and listening on the other side of that too, just trying to see if there's anything that comes. But I tell you, I am not afraid. I mean, I see that there's something's coming. Something's really coming. And so at this point, you've just got to, you know.
When you say something's coming, is that a positive thing?
No, it's a positive thing. I mean, because it's about a person. You know, we're talking about people. We're talking about,
right.
you know, relationships. And so I do see a relationship coming your direction. It's just about when you're going to let someone in your house. And I you know, we say that and it sounds so metaphorical, but it's actually all true. It's metaphorically and it's also, you know, really literally, you know, when you actually
right.
trust someone enough to actually let them in your house to do whatever needs to happen. And like I said, it looks like you're actually talking with people before you do that. You're kind of you're talking with, you know, like I said, you're talking to JoJo and he's telling you, well, you know, so-and-so does this and it's not like you want to just use somebody, You know what I mean? You don't want just somebody. You don't want just somebody coming to your house and doing patchwork. And I mean, I don't know how many times we've done patchwork or somebody said, so-and-so does electric work. He used to work for an electric company, and he comes over and he's, you know, pants hanging down, half off his butt, and he does the work, and you pay him $90 and the stuff still don't work.
And it goes, yes.
Yes. So, you know, and so before you do that, it's like you're talking with somebody who knows your space and who know, because he shows up as, you know, someone who for some reason knows your home. I see him as somebody who knows you, therefore knows your space too. And
yeah,
so
I know who you're talking about.
And so so he is going to tell you about this person and this person. You could try this person over here, but the person and the person you bring in, he actually shows up as somebody who knows what he's doing, and through this interaction here, but it's just based upon when you let him in. That's where things start to really unfold for you.
I see. Yeah, you're right on with that, because I do need to make some repairs, and I have spoken to a person who does know my house,
mm-hmm.
and have recommended some people,
mm-hmm.
and you're right, I haven't taken it another step further with that part.
Right.
But I've had some people come out and do estimates on some other, you know, other projects as well.
Right. So, you know, basically it's just whenever you're ready. You know, and when you're ready to actually have somebody come in, that's when you got somebody coming in, you know, and, you know, it,
right.
And sorry to keep making it sound like, you know, puns,
mm-hmm.
but you know, it's not puns. It's actually what we see going on.
Yeah. Cause the last time I spoke with you, you said it could possibly be a health inspector.
Yeah. Cause I mean, and the thing is, I just see him being somebody that deals with, you know, even like at that time, and it's probably because, probably with the inspection part, it's a hermit. And but this guy here, he shows up as the King of Swords, and it's like he knows what he's doing. And you know what? He could be somebody who does inspecting work as well for a living, and on the side he does some other stuff as well. You know what I mean? So it's all kind of about, you know, it's all kind of related, you know, but.
Okay.
But we'll just see. We'll see how the
things unfold.
How it all unfolds. But no matter what, he seems like somebody who really knows what he's doing. Like, for example, I have a client who's a welder, but he's doing welding inspections. That's why that kind of came to my mind now. You know, so but he's a welder, but right now he's doing the inspecting, and so you know he's making sure people are doing the right thing.
So would he be the relationship, or he's just going to lead the way to the relationship?
I actually see this being the relationship. But the thing is, there's the person that's helping you, that's talking to you, telling you who to talk to this person, that person. That's the helper.
Okay.
That's the helper. And then the person that actually comes in to do the work, I see him or he, you know what, he could be somebody that's inspecting the work too, making sure that whatever was done right by the person who did the work, you know, but there's something about that situation that is really, you know, it's knocking this home for you. Okay.
Oh, great. Well, that would be good. So, and so we'll just take it from there.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And you know, they're on the page, there's a link. If you could click the link and like the radio show, that would help us out a big deal, because we're trying to build our like base, our fan base, and after we've reached 250 fans, we're doing a drawing for a free 30-minute reading.
Oh, and this is on the Facebook. Correct?
This is on Facebook, correct?
Okay. Yes.
All right.
Well, thank you very much. This makes a lot of sense. I can see this actually happening.
Yeah. See. That's what we're talking about. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you both very much.
All right, Valerie.
Bye, Valerie.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, you there?
Oh, I'm here.
You alive?
That was weird, huh?
That was crazy strange. It was.
I know.
Well, actually, you know what? It's not really strange, because it's how we live. But let's take a little break, and then when we come back, we're going to take another call. But let's take a little break, and like I said, we're going to take a call and we're going to tell another story because I want everybody to. Whoa, you there?
Uh huh.
Is that your phone?
I don't know what's happening.
Oh, okay. I just heard a beep. Sometimes on Skype, I just want to make sure we're not getting cut off because Skype usually cuts us off during a show and it goes crazy and it gets real stupid and everybody kind of freaks out and, you know, oh my goodness. But anyhow, let's listen to a song and then we're going to come back and take a call and we're going to tell some more stories. And I'm trying to find something awesome to play. Oh, this one's creepy. I'm going to do this one. Hold on just a moment.
My name is Marissa from Power of You. Love, money, hope, security. Contact me for personalized spell packets. I'm a practitioner of enlightened down-home conjure. Just email us at powerofyoupracticalmagic@gmail.com. Again, powerofyoupracticalmagic@gmail.com.
And we're back. This is the Broken Earth Radio Show. This is Nunu, and this is Nunu and...
Oh, me, Leslie.
It's kind of hard because we're not in the same room. So it's hard to see your cues. But yeah, this is Broken Earth. And if you want to give us a call at 347-215-8421. If you are interested in any sort of your manifesting needs, remember you can get in touch with Marissa or the other Leslie at powerofyoupracticalmagic@gmail.com. They'll help you make your own personalized spell sachets or whatever you want to call it to do whatever you need. Because I know sometimes people just want to call it something else, like a pillow or a something, you know, just something to help them hold on to it and get the things that they want. Also, we are trying to build our Facebook page, Broken Earth Radio Show. So please add us, like us, rather, because you can click like. It only takes just a moment just to like us. And when we get 250 fans, we are doing a drawing for a free 30-minute reading. And you can also reach me at Psychic Nunu. You can also reach me or Bill at BillDoyle.com. I'm sorry, BillDoyle@live.com. It's email. But anyhow, Leslie, wasn't there some other story that happened to you, like when you moved into your new house?
There was. And let me just preface this story by saying you had foretold the depths of anguish that I was going to go through with my one and only pregnancy. And everything was right on. And I also need to say that my child, who is not yet two, mm-hmm. is a dream that I didn't even know I had.
Mm-hmm.
And like all mothers, I am terribly protective. And we moved into a new home in a different city last year.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not an old home. It's a regular house. It's a rental. It's a ranch house. I had spent some time in the house alone. My husband was working in a different town. I was keeping my child at my parents' house. I felt very sure that I did not want to stay in the house alone, even though whatever was cohabitating with me was not malicious, not bad.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, it was a different energy than what I was used to encountering anyplace else. Something that I was not familiar with at all. I had spent some time in different parts of my home. I had heard some different things in these different parts of the home.
Mm-hmm.
I had smelled things. When there was no coffee in our house, we don't drink coffee in our house, I would smell fresh coffee, which is the strongest, most memory-triggering smell for
yes,
me.
Yes, it is. It is. Yes, yes,
it is. For most people, it's a pleasurable smell. It's something that you instantaneously identify with.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't necessarily bothered by that, but it was always in the same place in the house that I would smell it. And it was so strong. I would ask whomever was with me at the time, don't you smell that? Please tell me that you smell coffee. And it wasn't like brewing coffee. It was like when you crack the can open,
mm-hmm.
you know, that smell right there. It's so strong. Other places in the house, I would hear music. no music that anybody listens to right now. I would hear things that were not going on. If I was at one end of the house, there were many times where I believed I heard somebody walking around. I had heard someone come into the house enough so that, you know, more than five or six times I said, hello, is anybody here? And I would move away from what I was doing to come into the house or the part of the house that I thought whatever was going on might be. And there was, of course, never anything there. So, you know, I absolutely discounted all of these things. And after my husband returned from working out of town, we had been together in the home with our son, you know, about a month and a half or so. And the instances of noise, of movement, they had increased, but not to a worrisome level. I know for a brief moment in time, my husband thought that I might be insane, but he started hearing things too, very, mm-hmm. very distinct things. And not necessarily when he was alone, but often when he was alone, when there was no one else in the house, when it was quiet, after the baby and I had gone to bed. He, too, discounted all of these things. And last year, on the very, very early morning of December 30th, we had an occurrence. I still have a very hard time wrapping my head around what happened. And we were laying in bed. And as most parents know, with a very young child, you go through many sleepless nights. And since we had moved into the home and started staying in the home, our baby continuously woke up between the hours of 12 and 3 o'clock in the morning, crying, bothered, hard to console. And we were very, very disturbed by this because normally the child slept quite well. You know, so we both talked to our parents about it to see if there was something that we could learn to do with our child to train him to sleep better, to pacify him. And, you know, we did the best we could. We were told to leave him in the crib to cry himself to sleep. We were told this by our pediatrician.
Mm-hmm.
And we tried this over the course of a couple of weeks, and it got more and more alarming. The child could not be consoled. So on December 30th, which happens to be my son's birthday, at about 2:37 in the morning, the child had woken up. And again, he was riled, babbling, tearful. And my husband and I were both awake, laying next to each other in our bedroom, which is no more than 10 feet from his crib. Again, this is a ranch house. Everybody's been in them. You know the layout.
Right.
The bedrooms
right.
are not far apart. So one of us was going to get up, and we talked to each other, and we're like, let's just let him cry it out. Let him cry it out, and we're gonna hang tough in bed here and listen to him cry it out. And after we had made this mutual decision, we were talking, you know, to each other in a very normal tone of voice, a very, very, you know, it was audible.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just listening to him, and it sounded like he was kicking the wall. And we thought, this can't be. He's kicking the wall and making all this racket. Well, I'm going to get up and I'm going to go to him. And my husband said, no, just wait for a second. And I said, Brant, did you hear something? And it was audible enough for my hackles to raise.
Right.
And he said, no, that's the baby kicking the wall. Okay. I settled back down, leaned back in the bed, and I heard an extraordinarily distinct sound. And I think I explained this to you when I told you of this occurrence, that I'm a shuffler by nature. In my walk, I'm heavy-heeled. I don't necessarily pick up my feet. It sounded like I was walking in the hallway outside of our bedroom. Our bedroom door was cracked. It was not closed all the way at all. I heard a shuffle in the hall and a tap on the door. And I said, Brant, did you hear that? And he got up immediately and went to our child's bedroom. And we always close the baby's door at night. And the baby has a silly metal sign on his door. It's held by two nails. Every time you open the door, which you have to do with force because there's pile carpeting in the bedroom,
mm-hmm.
you have to apply pressure to the door. And when you apply pressure to the door to open it, the metal sign hits the door twice. It's a distinct sound. I know this sound. And my husband got up to check and went into the baby's room. The baby's door was open, and he said, Leslie, where's the baby? And the crib was empty. And I've never moved so fast in my life. And that 10 feet was like a mile. And I got into the bedroom, and I turned on the light, and there was no baby in the crib. And
I walked out in the living room, and there sat our one-year-old son on the floor. Something had physically taken him from his crib. Let me retract that. Something had physically opened his bedroom door.
Right.
Had taken him from his crib and deposited him in another room in our home. And it happened to be where he was sitting, and he was fine. The baby was not harmed in any way. He was quiet. He was sitting in the space that I always smelled the coffee.
Right.
And the child was fine. We checked our windows. We checked our doors. And because it's a 1950s rancher, we had put plastic over the windows for the winter time.
Right.
Nothing was broken. No barrier was broken in our home. Yet something removed my child from his crib and put him someplace else. And if that doesn't make you go instantly crazy, I don't know what else will.
Oh, I know. Oh, my gosh.
And you know, because I had talked to you about a month after that about this very real ghost story. And I had told you that I had said something to whomever, whatever had touched him, whatever had deposited him where he was.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you do anything you want. Please don't mess with my baby. Please don't mess with my baby. And I said at the time,
hold on, everybody. We've dropped the call. The call dropped. Hold on just a moment. I think something cut us off, but hold on. Let's call Leslie back. And we do have another caller here. And hold on just a moment.
Are we back?
Hey. Yeah, we're back. Hey. I think somebody, they were probably telling you, okay, fine, I get it.
I think so, too, because, we've had another occurrence with this entity after you and I talked. You told me what to do about it.
Yeah.
And I did that. And whatever, whomever she is, she's definitely laid off.
Good.
We hear things. It's not nearly as pressure-filled as it once was in here.
Right.
And you had instructed me to do something with salt, and
okay.
I did.
And it worked. That's good.
It worked excellent. Quite well. And you had also told me that who this person might be, and that this was not mad, angry. It was just a normal person who was trying to care for the child.
Right.
And all of these things are fine with me. And if you remember, my main concern was if we hadn't have gotten up, if we
what
had just
happened?
Laid there, what,
yeah.
Where would he be? Where
right.
was he? You know, that, and that was my fear. And it sounds so silly and so unfounded that I would be worried about where he would go.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody who has kids knows, you know, there's that underlying fear. If you don't do this one thing, then what will happen to the child or the baby?
Exactly.
And I haven't been too much of a smother mother, but I have to say that every time the child cries, I have to go to him in the
right.
middle of the night.
Now you
make
have
sure.
To do it. Yeah.
I have to do it. And I almost feel like that this woman presence did this so I could reinforce in myself that it's right for me to go to this child when he cries.
Exactly.
I don't have to listen to these people.
You're
They're
true.
All just telling me this opinion, and that it is okay for me to go to my child if he is feeling something or if he is fretful or fearful. And
trust
after I had talked to you, trust your gut. Right.
Yeah.
That,
trust your gut.
And that's what became of that, and the measures that we took to make sure that he was not moved again really worked. And I have to say that here we are coming upon November again, and I'll be damn, Nunu, if this shit isn't starting again.
Well, let's take this call. There's a caller here, and and you know what? Oh, this is exciting. And hold on, let's take this call real quick.
All right.
Hey, it's Nunu. How can I help you?
Hi, Nunu.
Hey.
Hey, my name is Lillian. How are you doing?
Very good, Lillian. Very good. Share with us what's going on.
Well, I'm having, you know, I seem to keep putting myself in bad relationships. And this last one, I've been with him for like 9 years off and on. We've been married for four, almost five. And we're separated right now. And I need to figure out some way to break this pattern. So that's my problem.
You know, this is, I'm going to tell you something. You got to forgive me because we have like so little time.
Right.
We have like this, like a couple of minutes, like a minute and a half. But, you know, what I need you to do, and we'll talk again. I know we'll definitely talk again. What I need you to do in the meantime is to make a list of all the things that you want more than him. Seriously. Make a list of all the stuff.
Yeah.
It may be a short list, but the thing is, what we need to start working on as a healer is getting you into a place where you can actually start putting stuff before this relationship. And I'm telling you, when you can do this, you can have whatever you want. And it's not an easy position to come to, but it's the position that you have to come to nonetheless. Now, but Lillian, you know, add the radio show to your or like the radio show on Facebook. Okay, it's Broken Earth. There's a link. You can click the link and just click like, and we can connect that way. And we're going to fix you up. You're going to be okay, because I really do see that. It's just that you've got to start. Okay?
Okay.
Lillian, stop giving your power away.
Yeah, I realize that's what I've been doing. And
that's what you're doing.
Like now, this separation needs to be permanent, and I need to take my power back.
Absolutely.
And we know it's not easy. We know that this is, you know, we get it. We really, really do. But that's the way it starts. And when we can actually look at a list of the things that you want more than to be married to that man, that's the first step to getting you to okay. And it's almost like we're saying that we're going to be weaning you off of wine. You know what I mean? But, you
right.
know, the relationship. Sometimes our relationships are addiction because we're used to that person. And don't let anybody fool you. It is not easy. But like I said, you need to see what it is that you want more than him. And when you can actually start working on that, this is your first step to being okay. All right?
All right. Thank you, Nunu.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. We'll talk to you very soon.
Okay.
Okay, dear.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, you know, the show's over. We got to do this again. We got to do this again, seriously, okay?
It's good.
And we're going to talk more about this thing. Are you still doing the salt?
Not anymore. I thought it had gotten the message.
Well, you probably just need to do it again. You need to start it up again. But thank you so much for doing the show tonight. Everybody, this is Broken Earth. We'll be back next Tuesday at our regular time, 2 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. UK. And this has been Leslie. And, Leslie, I love you. Thank you so much. And we will see you guys soon. We will see you very, very soon.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free. You can't take the sky from me. Take me out to the black. Tell them. take the sky from me. There's no place I can be since I found serenity. But you can't take the sky from me.
Okay. And when you get back to Nashville, get yourself some black candles. Okay?
Oops.